Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Wednesday of the 16th Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through chapter 3, verse 13.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God.
There are a lot of myths that we receive in American culture that are not necessarily consistent with the life in Christ revealed in the Scriptures. One of these is what I call the myth of graduation. We like graduations, and with good reason. Graduations mark the times when we have graduated or progressed from one stage of life to another. So we graduate from high school or college, not only because we have survived a particular course of study, but because we are about to move from one stage of life to another. So graduations like these are reasons to celebrate. But sometimes we believe that when we graduate from either high school or college, or from our parents' household, that we also graduate from community. That is, that we have now progressed to the point that we should be able to stand on our own 2 feet, completely alone. It's true that as we get older, we should be more independent of our parents, in being able to make choices and live without their financial support or direct oversight. It's true that when we marry, we must leave and cleave. But it's a tragic mistake to think that such a graduation is a graduation to individualism, which is the cultural myth we sometimes swallow. In fact, this graduation to individualism is actually a kind of regression. Part of the first 18 or more years of life were hopefully spent teaching us not just to grow up, but also to grow out. That is, to grow in our ability to live together in a love in a community, where each carries his own burden, but also carries the burdens of others. One of the things that kids growing up most reject is their parents' attempts to check up on them to make sure they are doing well. In 1 Thessalonians 3, St. Paul makes clear to the Thessalonians that he doesn't believe that they have or should have graduated from the need to have others check up on them. On the contrary, Paul is like a mother hen to his churches, or like a father checking out the prospective boyfriends of his daughter. He sends Timothy to check up on the Thessalonians by establishing them and encouraging them, verse 2, so that no one would be shaken by the afflictions they were experiencing, verse 3. Previously, Paul had told the Thessalonians that he had hoped to come check up on them himself, but could not. So instead, he sends his best agent, Timothy, and puts him on the case. Like any parent, Paul is overjoyed to be told that his children, the Thessalonians were standing firm in faith and love, verse 6. What must have rejoiced his heart just as much was to hear that they had fond memories of him as he did for them. I wonder sometimes how well American churches are doing in checking up on their members. On the one hand, it's hard and thankless work for pastors to check up on the parishioners. In some cases, this is not even a central focus of the local church, which may be so large that members are relatively anonymous. On the other hand, parishioners are the ones who are most resistant to being checked up on. We don't want the pastor interfering in our lives or hassling us, as if we weren't self-sufficient or doing okay by ourselves. Should a pastor do the very duty of checking up, which he has sworn to do, and for which he has taken vows, then watch out. That pastor may be just about to lose a sheep to another less watchful shepherd and flock. The truth is, often we aren't doing well, and have wandered like lost sheep. And that is exactly why we don't want any pastor, that is, shepherd, snooping around our homes and lives. In acting this way, we have become like Adam and Eve, who only hid from the Lord when they were ashamed, because they knew they had done something wrong, and were spiritually naked before him. But we have a godly obligation both to check and be checked. God has bound us to a local body of Christ, to which we are to be submitted. We are to welcome our pastors checking into our lives. We should rejoice that they care enough to correct or rebuke us if they have to, and we should all be willing to do the checking ourselves. It is not only the pastors who have an obligation to check into the well-being of church members, it is the ministry of every member. Those who are your neighbors in your church, those whose lives are closest to yours, are the ones you should be checking on to make sure they are standing fast in love and faith. Only if we, quote-unquote, interfere by checking on each other in godly love, will any of us be able to stand.
This has been a presentation of Always With Christ Radio.
Will we learn to live
Radio
by godly love
in the Anglican way?
That is to characterize each and every church.